Mind and decide what would be a good song for you tonight. Overwhelmingly, this is the best one, I think, to describe what we're going to talk about tonight. This one is at a Billy Graham crusade. I believe it's in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's the Gaithers singing "The King is Coming." Hope it'll be a blessing. Get you in the mood for the message tonight. Go ahead.
And happy faces are gonna line the hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. And broken homes that he has mended. Those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. And those who were crippled, broken and ruined, now clad in garments white as snow. Just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. The chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled.
That'll make your goosebumps jump over goosebumps, won't it? Amen. I tell you, one of these days, that's going to happen. The King is coming. Thank God for that tonight. We're continuing our study on prophecy tonight. We're in, tonight I believe it's part 8 of our Sunday night study. And if you'll get out your timeline, and if you don't have yours tonight, if you need another one, or you've got some down at your front you can pick up, but you notice on our timeline, we're doing our study based on 4 key events. Our first key event was the rapture of the church, and we talked about the rapture of the church and all that's taking place. Our second key event we spent several weeks on because that key event is the tribulation period. We dealt with events in heaven, with the church that's been raptured. We talked about those things, the judgment seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we talk about the events on earth, dealing with the Antichrist and Israel and all the terrible judgments that will take place during this 7-year period known as the tribulation. Most of the book of Revelation deals with most of those events that take place during the tribulation period. So we just finished up that second key event, the tribulation, last week. Now tonight, we come to the third and the highlight event of all of this. All the way back to the Old Testament, prophets were prophesying of this event. Even in the New Testament, Paul and Peter and John were proclaiming that this event was coming. And many times, as they talked about the event of return of Jesus, many times they talked in terms of these events together, rapture and second coming, because Jesus had not yet formed the church. And so those things were different. But now, as we see clearly, as we get through this, we see that the coming of Christ is really two events. The rapture, as he comes for his church, and then as he literally comes back. Notice the timeline. The arrow goes all the way down to the earth, the line here on earth. It is the actual Jesus coming back to the earth. So tonight, we are going to go to, you can go to the next slide there, John, Revelation chapter 19. As we talk about the third key event, it is called the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to find Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. If you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. As John the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the vision that he is seeing. Imagine this. He is seeing this as he writes it. Everything in Revelation he sees, and he writes it down. And this is what he sees in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Father, in Jesus' name, tonight as we study, give us understanding, give us appreciation, give us anticipation as we look for your return to one day come back to this earth in your second coming. We look forward to that day, Lord. We know that before that day happens, there are other events that will take place, such as the rapture and the tribulation and all the events we've studied. But Lord, we look forward to the day where you will return and every eye will see you, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We look forward, and as we do, we pray that you'll give us a burden and a desire to share your word and your message and your love to those who need to know you as their Savior. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, as you look at your chart, I want you to take just a quick look at the tribulation chart. I didn't put a PowerPoint of this one back up. But the chart where we had the tribulation, get that out real quick, and I want you to notice the last column there. It's very important to notice this last column. The second coming, as we're calling it, the second coming of Jesus, is actually several events taking place almost at the same time. We left last week as the Battle of Armageddon was being fought.
All the armies of the world have gathered to Megiddo, and they're fighting against Israel and against one another. They've rebelled against the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is making war on Israel. Jerusalem falls, and Babylon is destroyed with a great earthquake and the hailstones, and all these things are happening, and then all of it comes into a conclusion. And notice this chart here, and then we're going to get to these verses I've got on the screen. But the return of Christ, as the battle of Armageddon is being fought, the marriage supper of the Lamb is taking place in heaven, because when we study that at the early part of chapter 19, it is right after the marriage supper of the Lamb is finished when Jesus just takes and ushers all of us and we follow him in his second coming. So these events are taking place almost simultaneously, one right after the other. He returns to the earth with his church, with his angels. Antichrist and the false prophet, as we just read, are cast into the lake of fire. So with this and with the return of Jesus, that event that takes place that prophets all the way back to the Old Testament have told us that would take place, Jesus promised that he was going to come back, and all the things that happened, they all come back. Now, something to help us get an understanding about the gloriousness of this event is to remember an event in Jesus' ministry. Toward the end of his ministry, there was a time where he put Peter, James, and John up by themselves, up onto a mountain, and he was transfigured. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And it was there that, for a few moments, Jesus pulls back the veil of flesh, and we see the glory. John and Peter, Peter, James, and John see the glory revealed. And they're joined by two of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. And they're there fellowshipping, and they're there worshiping, and Peter is just so overcome with that that he makes a bold statement, says, man, this is great. Let's just stay up here all the time. And let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Poor old Peter. If he'd ever been in one building program, he never would have suggested three at the same time, right? I mean, bless his heart. He didn't know what he was getting into. And so this event was a precursor, a foreshadowing of what to expect when Jesus actually comes back and the veil is removed and we see him in all of his glory. When Jesus comes back, he will fulfill his role as the God-given judge, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. As all of these trumpet judgments and vile judgments and bold judgments have been poured out upon the earth, and as the world has gone to war against itself, they now turn as Jesus begins to descend. The Bible says that they turn to make war against him. And Jesus, through his very words, the sword proceeds out of his mouth. He wipes out all the armies of the world. And the Battle of Armageddon actually concludes with Jesus returning in his return here at the second coming. One of the things about this is that the second coming is mentioned in so many passages. I need to kind of give you a good feel and a good summary. There's so many other verses you could take and study, but I've given you three. We just read from Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. And I give you Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read it for you there. As Jesus on that Mount of Olives discussion, he says there, and I'm going to start in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And get this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather the elect from the four winds, from the one end of the earth, of the heaven, to the other. It's just going to be wonderful. Jesus is going to come back and the whole world's going to see him. It's just going to be amazing as he comes back. And Matthew gives us that discussion that Jesus gives. But one of the great differences in the second coming as opposed to the rapture is the very fact that when the rapture takes place, notice Paul describes it as Jesus comes in the clouds and we're called up to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus never comes back physically to the earth at that point of the rapture. But when he comes at the end of the tribulation, when the 7 years of judgment have complete, when the battle of Armageddon is fought and all those things take place, Zechariah, the prophet that is right before the book of Malachi, there at the end of the Old Testament. In chapter 14, he describes the return of the Messiah coming back to set up his kingdom. And one of the ways he describes it, he says in verse 4 of Zechariah 14, he says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst." In other words, it'll split thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved to the north, and half the mountain moved to the south. We stood on the Mount of Olives and read this passage of Scripture. And oh my, you talk about getting goosebumps now. Standing on the very spot where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day is going to come, and his feet are going to touch back on this earth once again. And we're standing on the top. And I'm not talking about there's four Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and we got to choose which one it might be. They ain't but one Mount of Olives. And there wasn't but one place in Jerusalem. And that when that valley splits and it opens up that eastern gate, which has been blocked and still blocked, and when that eastern gate opens up and that valley's created and Jesus' feet touch the top of the Mount of Olives, glory to God, Jesus has returned. And he is going to be back. And he is going to set his feet down upon the earth. And he's going to come not as a baby in a manger, but he's coming on a white horse with King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the army of heaven following him. We're going to be part of that army. We're coming with him. We're going to be part of that group. I don't know. I'm not a horse rider. I rode one when I was a kid. Somebody had a horse farm. We went out and rode horses, and I thought that was cool. I've ridden a lot of quarter horses, but Kmart took them out. And off the sidewalk, and they didn't have them anymore. So those quarter horses is about as much of experience as I've got riding horses, okay? And so that's all I have. I'm looking forward to riding a white horse. I'm looking forward to coming and following the great Lord and Savior as he comes back to this earth. And he's going to come back. Now, there are several names that describe this event. There are several ways and several terms. I want to give you those on the next slide. If you got those written down. We're calling this the second coming. But there are other terminologies and some writers and some even doctoral studies that you may hear this term. One is the glorious appearing. I like that. That's good. J. Dwight Pentecost, one of the great Bible theologians, Bible scholars. J. Dwight Pentecost, who if you want to read on prophecy and everything, you get anything on his is good stuff. He used this terminology to describe the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as the glorious appearing. In fact, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins liked it so much that that volume of their Left Behind series that deals with the return of Christ is called The Glorious Appearing. In fact, Laura, that's the book you gave me. I have a signed copy of that one that when he was doing a book signing somewhere that you gave me. I've got The Glorious Appearing. I've got that one. And that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth in his second coming. It's referred to as the glorious appearing. I just love that term. Another doctrinal term that many scholars and Bible students will use is the second advent. Now, first advent was when? Anybody got a guess? Christmas. Thank you. Christmas, that's referred to as the first. Advent means coming, okay? Appearing. And so many times some scholars will use the term advent. So when you see that, when you see somebody referring to the second advent, you know they're referring to this event at the end of the tribulation, Jesus coming back physically to the earth, coming back. And remember now, Jesus hadn't been back physically to the earth since he left in Acts chapter 1. Those disciples on top of the Mount of Olives telling them that they'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. They'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So he hasn't been back physically until then. And so that is what. So when you see these terms, all of these terms reveal this wonderful, great event. Now, as I said, so many things are happening at one time. Marriage supper of the Lamb's finishing up. Jesus got everybody together. I don't know who gives a signal. I don't know if Michael's standing over there and saying that, you know, whatever. And I don't know if it's like a bunch of Baptists finishing up homecoming meal. You know, it's time to get up and leave. You know, y'all want y'all to go this way. I don't know what they're going to do. But somebody's going to give a signal.
Somebody's going to sound a trumpet probably. And it's going to be, okay, it's time to go. Here we go. And boy, we let off and we're on the white. And here we go. Here we go. Heaven's. I don't know what it's going to be like, folks. I'm telling you what's true. Think of flying through heaven, through the atmosphere and through all the solar system and coming down back to earth and following Jesus to the Mount of Olives. I don't know what that, boy, that's going to be fun. That's going to be great. That's going to be, I wouldn't miss, I'm not going to miss it for the world. I'm going to be there. I've already got it settled, amen. I got it settled when I was 9 years old. I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to be a part of this and I'm looking forward to it. All these things, he's going to wipe out the kings of the earth and the great army is going to be gathered. They said the blood is going to flow as deep as the horse's bridles through the valley of Megiddo. It's going to be a total annihilation of all the world kings. He's going to take and he's going to throw the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And he's going to come and he's going to march into Jerusalem. He's going to march from the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk through the eastern gate. And he is returned and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm a history nut. Y'all know I love history. And one of my great heroes of history is General Douglas MacArthur. If you've ever read the life of General Douglas MacArthur, you've got to appreciate this great general, this great man. One of the reasons that the United States is a free nation and survived through World War II, I believe in the war in the Pacific, is because of General Douglas MacArthur. In fact, if President Truman had left him alone during the Korean War, we'd be rid of a lot of other communists as well. But that's another situation. But General Douglas MacArthur, in the early days of World War II, had to retreat from the Philippines. He had based himself and the Allied forces in the Philippines, and because the Japanese were overrunning them, they had to flee or else they were going to be wiped out and we were going to have no hope of winning World War II in the Pacific. General MacArthur sent a message. As in the night, he slipped out in the middle of the night, he and his leaders and his key staff, he sent a message back to the people of the Philippines. He said three words, "I shall return. I shall return." It wasn't, but just a couple years later, as the United States was conquering the Japanese forces from island hopping by island hopping, that they were able to make their way to the Philippines, and it was safe again for General Douglas MacArthur. And there's film reels, and you've seen the news footage, and you've seen it on the movie, General MacArthur wading in the water off that boat, walking up to the coastline of the Philippines, and his first words was, "I have returned." Now, I love watching war movies like that. That's good stuff. But listen, that don't compare at all to Jesus returning. When Jesus comes back to this earth, he promised his disciples before he left, he said, "I shall return." And when he gets back and those feet touch the Mount of Olives and it splits down through the front gates of the eastern gate of Jerusalem, Jesus is saying, "I have returned." Oh, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. Jesus is coming back, folks. He's going to rule and reign. And he is, as I've got on the concluding slide, I want you to notice that verse in verse 16. Something very interesting about that verse that we read there just a moment ago. Most of our English translations that I've used, and I think most of the ones you probably got in your hands, do you notice that phrase is in all caps? You see that? Is yours like that? Is your English Bible like most of you shaking your head? Yes? Yeah? And it's in all caps. Those of you that use social media, Facebook, Twitter, email and texting, do you know what, when you put something in all caps, what does it mean? It's what?
Screaming.
You're screaming. You're shouting. It's that's the way that you let somebody know that you're communicating with, "Hey!" You know, hands on your side of your mouth, and you're just, you know, letting it. Okay, all caps. This is long before the days of social media, okay? But all caps is very important here. It is a sign of a declaration so that no one misses of the title that's deserving. It is as if the guy is standing there proclaiming with a loud trumpet, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." It's going to be a great day when Jesus comes back. And folks, I want you to be encouraged. This is going to happen no matter what.
the elections, the economy, some dictator, some terrorist is not going to change one single second of the plan of God. It's going to happen exactly as He's planned, exactly as He has ordained. Nothing will change it. And even the devil himself is trying to do all he can to keep him happy. But guess what? We're going to see next time what happens to him when Jesus comes back. I'm looking forward to that. Would you stand with us as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that one day your precious Son, the King of all ages, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is going to return back to this earth. Going to conquer the armies of the world. He's going to carry out the judgment of this world. And he's going to rule and reign as King and Lord. Nothing's going to change it. It's in your time and in your plan. You know the exact moment and the exact hour when it's going to happen. Oh, we look forward to that day. No one can change it in any way, shape, or form. All we can do, Lord, is to anticipate it, look forward to it. But also, we need to be busy. We need to be sharing the gospel with those who are lost. We need to be telling people how they can have a personal relationship with you. That's the only way they'll get to enjoy that day and the days for all of eternity that will follow. Lord, I pray that you help us as a church to have a burden and compassion. Help us have a zeal for sharing the gospel, to get it out no matter how we can get it out, no matter who will listen. To tell them that Jesus saves, and that Jesus is coming again. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, Lord, if your rapture would take place today and begin ushering in all these events we've been studying. But Lord, it could happen, and it will happen one day. Let us be ready. Let us be faithful. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.